Welcome to Tim Bray's ongoing podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. This piece was published on the 18th of February, 2022, and is entitled Getting Back. I watched all 8 hours of Jackson's Get Back Beatles documentary. I'm a pretty intense music geek, and while I gather there were some for whom this was too much Beatles, there was hardly a moment when I wanted to look away. I found the whole thing intense and feel like sharing a few purely musical takeaways. If you care about Will George Quit or the meaning of Yoko drama, I got nothing for you. And here's the first picture. There's 5 or 6 pictures in here, all of which are outtakes, screen caps from the Get Back documentary by Peter Jackson on Disney Plus. This one shows Paul McCartney and John Lennon facing each other, playing guitars and singing with George Harrison on the guitar in the background. Payment. But first, you know, I don't subscribe to Disney Plus. A friend helped me out. Dear world, the number of streaming services keeps expanding, but my willingness to subscribe to more than one of them has ground to a halt. I think I'm not alone. So, they need to find another way. Hint? I would cheerfully pay to watch this. It's huge. 3 very long episodes. If you'd asked me for $10, I might have grumbled a little, but I would have coughed up the dough. Is it too long? Maybe a little, but I think if you cut out any more than an hour, you'd be losing real value. Now, on to those musical impressions. And here we have a photo of John playing piano with Yoko sitting behind him, smiling at into the picture with just a glowing, beautiful smile on her face. Sound quality. It's fabulous, especially the rooftop sequence. I guess Glyn Johns and George Martin knew what they were doing. Toward the end of the show, there are occasional subtitles saying that the performance currently on screen is the one on the album. Back in the day, I disliked the sound of Let It Be, so the documentary audio was a really pleasant surprise. A visit to Wikipedia reveals that Phil Spector peed in the pool of the first release. Now I'm going to have to go give a serious listen to Let It Be Naked. That's a link to a re-release done in the 2000s where Paul McCartney went in and stripped out all the Phil Spector stuff, so it would sound presumably like what the documentary does. And oh my goodness, check out another link, Let It Be Special Edition, which is a huge box set with all sorts of different versions and so on. And here's another picture, which is of the rooftop sequence, and it's kind of soft focusy, but it's really cool because Paul and John are clearly playing a big instrumental break and leaping around with their hair swinging and guitar sticking up in the air and so on. Audio weenies will enjoy Glyn John's repeated entreaties for less bass in the guitar sound and similar fine-tuning. Is it surprising that they got great sound in spite of the primitive ganged 4-tracks tape setup? It shouldn't be. Many music lovers and basically 100% of audiophiles agree that 1970 marked the beginning of a long, steady decline in the quality of pop music sound, and one reason was just too much technology. Tragedy. It's unspeakably sad that the Beatles never performed as a band once they'd grown up. In a few of the studio segments in the far too brief rooftop concert, they were tight as a drum, focused and exciting. Songs. There are lots of keepers, obviously. It's pretty wonderful to watch Get Back be born right there before your eyes, and then grow and branch out and acquire lyrics and take its final shape as a mature, wonderful rock and roll song. We hear it maybe once or twice too often in the documentary. It's not my favorite, though. That would be Don't Let Me Down, which inexplicably didn't go out on the original Let It Be release. The melody is compelling, and Lennon's vocal is absolutely heart-wrenching. I mentioned the lyrics. The movie suggests that Lennon was the band's amanuensis, scribbling words and corrections furiously on a clipboard as they were worked out. This required, and he seemed to exhibit, endless patience. I also really liked One After 909, which, Paul explains, is one of the hundreds and hundreds, to quote him, of songs he and John wrote together before they got famous. And here's a picture of John playing a lap steel guitar, which was on I forget what song it was. It was on George Harrison's song. Pick one. Okay, suppose that you, unlike me, had a major songwriting talent and were putting together a band to perform your music and you were allowed to hire one Beatle. Who'd be your choice? For me, it wouldn't be close. John Lennon, if only for the fabulous rhythm guitar and the vocal agility. Is that controversial? Well, I ran a poll on Twitter and John came 3rd after Paul and George, which I think is crazy. McCartneyology. Obviously, a once-in-a-century singing voice, he croons and howls and growls and goes all music hall silly and does all those things in an intelligent way, and then, of course, all those fabulous songs. Listen to the vocal pyrotechnics on I've Got a Feeling. No other human could do that. Instrumentally, the bass playing is competent, and the piano backup on the ballads, Let It Be, Long and Winding Road, drives the songs gracefully. Harrisonia. In mid to late Beatles, if there are noticeably high parts on guitar or vocals, that's George. These days, people are kind in retrospect to his guitar playing, but they're being charitable. The tone is thin, and there's really no rhythmic drive. But those high vocal harmonies are sweet. There's a hilarious moment on one of the early takes of a song where George comes in on the high line, ridiculously out of tune, and the whole thing lurches to a giggling halt. And Mr. Harrison wrote songs that people will still be enjoying decades after we've all shuffled off. There's this moment where he's showing off one of his new songs to the band, playing it on piano, and asking Billy Preston, "What's that chord, eh, Billy? Billy? It's an E, but I put a C in, too. Couldn't do that if I were writing on the guitar." Can't do the Liverpool accent, sorry. Which makes the point that in 1970, as they were breaking up, they were still learning their craft, still growing up. And here's a picture of Billy Preston banging away on a Fender Rhodes. Billy, too. I once actually attended a Billy Preston concert back in the 70s when he had big hits on the radio. A guy with a whole lot of talent and a good performer, too. The college paper reviewer, and I think he was an art rock victim, intoned snottily, "Just some nice tunes with a huge backbeat and a lot of energy," which, what else do you want? That works for me. Anyhow, his arrival on the scene halfway through the process lit up the room and made the Beatles a much, much better band. And here's a picture of Ringo Starr smiling at the camera and waving a cigarette. Boy, the movie is full of smoking. They all smoke all the time. Stardom. The Get Back footage reveals that Ringo, whom the others often address as Rich or Richie, his real name was Richard Starkey, is, you know, a really good drummer. Powerful backbeat and extremely tasty intros and fills. No flash, none needed. And Ringo wrote some pretty good songs. What I learned watching this is he could play some decent piano, too. One of the highlights for me was Paul and Ringo pounding out a fast four-hands rock boogie-woogie instrumental at a ferocious, intimidating speed, both grinning ear to ear. Rich hardly says anything, though. Lennonism. By a wide margin, the most interesting person in the room, and his music hits me harder than any of the others. His singing is idiosyncratic and flexible and really wonderful. I mentioned Paul's work on I've Got a Feeling. Listen to John's take on the Everybody Had a Good Time part and enjoy the contrast. And the movie also makes it obvious that those Paul-John harmonies are the real deal, the sound you just couldn't ignore and you still can't. And the guitar? For example, listen to that staccato break on Get Back. We probably hear it 25 times in the course of the movie, and I never wanted to skip it. At this point in his life, John was suffering from disaffection and heroin, so you're probably not seeing the full spectrum of what he could be, and he's still pretty awesome. Mr. Martin says why. I said I wasn't going to talk about the personal dynamics, the human dimensions. One reason for that is that I don't need to, because George Martin said what needs to be said. His son Giles posted a heartwarming little video, and that's a link to a very short Twitter, a video on Twitter, of George Martin talking about why he decided to work with the Beatles, which anyone interested in the Beatles should probably watch. And I quote, "They were the kind of people that you like to be with. I sure liked the 8 hours I spent with them. Jackson's direction is deft and gets right out of the way. Thanks to him and all the people who made the film, living and dead." That's all, folks.